Our first committee is Facilities and Infrastructure. The sooner we sit down, the sooner we get to go home. So, Dooley Kiefer Chair, or is this a Vice Chair?
I was not in town for the last meeting, and Leslie McKean Claiborne is going to give a great report.
So, F and I met on September 3rd. A lot of what we talked about is passed the consent agenda, but I need to just share with you a couple of quick highlights, I think. Actually, I know. Most of what we did was in the form of resolutions, and so I'll just go to the resolutions and you can ask questions. So resolution H is where we are, and you should have a revised version. It's such a huge echo. The authorization to execute supplementary right-of-way funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, Hanshaw Road Reconstruction, and I so move.
Is there a second? Mike, second. Do you want to make any comments on the revision? Or
let me just say quickly that we heard early in the meeting from a member of the public, Mr. Hutchins, who did comment on the resolution. And as a result of those comments, we changed the resolve to add the numbers that you see there, so that there was more clarity about how we ended up at the $612,000 plus dollars. So we appreciated his comments in that regard. And the other change, again, was just for a little bit more clarity.
Thank you, Leslie. Dooley?
Leslie, I read the other change in the resolution.
Yeah, there's something missing.
And I think something got left out in the typing.
Yeah, I was just reading that too. There's something missing from it.
Could I propose what I think is missing?
Please propose away.
There are no lines to refer to in this version. It's the fifth whereas with the strike-throughs.
I'm trying to find it here.
Whereas the amount of right-of-way needed for the project has increased due both to the legislature's determination to compensate all neighboring residents for all property beyond the county's current use, even if the resident's ownership interest is unclear, and to the extension of the proposed walkway.
That's fine.
I didn't understand why the order was reversed, but since it got reversed, something happened to the language.
Is that friendly to the seconder also? Mike?
Yes.
Okay. So you got that, Kathy? Okay. Anything else, Dooley?
No.
Frank and then Carol.
thanks, Martha. Leslie, could you just take another moment and highlight the new numbers and what the total dollar amount will be? Because I know you mentioned part of it, but I think it would be helpful for folks that don't have this in front of them to know what we're talking about here in dollar amounts.
So the total dollar amount is $612,105. I'm trying to find my notes, Frank. Please bear with me. And that was an increase.
Is the 222 the increase?
The 222 is the increase. The original was 390,000.
Okay, thank you.
That clears it up? Okay.
Yep, that's great. Thank you very much.
Carol?
Yeah, I just want to be clear on how much of county funding we are spending at this point. If 80% of this is covered with federal funds and 20% non-federal, that's ours. So does that mean that we're responsible for 20% of the 612,000, which would be approximately $122,000 of county and property tax money, or is the 612 the county's portion?
I am going to look to Ed to help answer that question. I'm so glad you're in the room.
I don't have all of the precise numbers with me, but the portion that applies to the walkway, any local share would be the town. Other things that we're purchasing as part of the road project, the local share would be the counties, but I don't have the exact breakdown of those numbers with me.
Mike, is this an answer to that, or was it another?
No, it's with that. I'm looking at Bill Sesney's memo that he gave to our committee, the F&I committee. He talks about the local share would be $81,921. That's 13.4%. But and we know part of it will be paid by the town of Ithaca, and I think that's what Ed was saying. He doesn't have that breakdown. But the total local share is
$81,921. Okay. Thank you.
Duly. Thank you,
Mike. I'm under the impression that because the right-of-way negotiations aren't complete, this is probably an up-to figure rather than the absolute figure also.
Is that a question or statement?
It's a statement.
Okay. Pam?
Okay. I just noticed in our agenda for this, there are no explanation memos with the resolutions, which I think is usually done. Isn't it? Aren't they included usually?
Not on everything.
Oh, okay, because no. I thought at F&I we talked about that these explanations, Bill Sesney's memos were going to be part of the agenda so people could understand it. Anyway, I'm just surprised there are none here. So
they are available online. If somebody's wants to go and look for all that, is that right? Because that's part of the packet for F&I.
It is part of the packet for F&I.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, I was sitting there in F&I and listening to that discussion, and that really did seem like a good idea to provide that memo
right.
along with the documents. The documents are really difficult to follow and to understand, and the writing that was in the memo clarified the whole thing. I don't remember the answers, but it does seem to me that there's no reason why that, or is there a reason why that memo can't be attached to these papers when they come to us?
Well, in this particular case, the meeting was just Friday. Last Friday, and the legislature packet was put together 2 days, 3 days
before that.
Right.
So, if anybody wants a hard copy, I'm sure we can do that. You can also, as I said, go onto the county website, or we're also sent an email with a showing where you can download the whole agenda, and that material should be in there. Frank.
Yeah, Martha, thanks for the offer. I think because of the amount of discussion that's gone on this entire project and the number of times that we've heard from residents and the letters we've all received, that personally, I think it would be a good idea if we did get a hard copy of the breakdown. Apparently, in one of the whereases, it does say we have to spend 100% of the project costs and then file for reimbursement of the eligible costs. I think it would be helpful to have that breakdown. I think this is going to pass, but if there's a question, the way our rules are set up, we can always bring it back if we'd like at the next meeting for discussion. I would request a hard copy of the entire breakdown as to what the total project cost is, how much the town, I think I heard Ed say the town was going to do something with the sidewalk, and how much we're required to pay, assuming we get reimbursed for the those parts that we're eligible for.
Could I ask Ed, would you mind asking Bill to or have sent to the whole legislature the backup information on this one? Thank you very much. Okay, ready to vote on this? On the revised version. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Okay. Now we're moving on to something.
Resolution I.
Resolution I. That is award of bid, long-term parking lot expansion project, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. And you also will have a revised version in your folder. When the agenda packet went out, it had a bunch of blanks in it. So you should have a revised version that have those numbers filled in. And there is also an additional whereas, or changed whereas.
Is there a second? Mike seconds.
Okay. Does everybody have the revised version?
Thank you, Leslyn. Any questions, comments?
This is, let me point out real quickly that there was a the difference in funding, the $148,000, the lot is currently over budget at 18.5%. It's the last whereas. Bob let us know that that difference was because of, I think he said, ballards to protect the light posts. And so, in case anybody wanted to know why that was coming in just a little bit up, that was the reason.
Okay, any comments, questions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. That's it.
I want to mention that we authorized by committee consensus for Barb Ekstrom of the Solid Waste Division to go ahead and seek bids for new scales. One of these scales is not functioning properly, but they were already going to be due for renewal and replacement, so it sort of moved up the process. She's looking at about $70,000 each for the scales, and with some of the work that is going to be done at the Solid Waste Center, some of the improvement and changes, this would have been one of the things. They're not moving from where they're placed. They're going to be in the same place, but we have to move the process up much faster than the other work that's supposed to be done there. So just so you know, new scales coming in at the Solid Waste Division. We did have a little bit of a discussion. We had an executive session, part of the negotiations and contracts regarding the Solid Waste Division. There's some new information that you will be getting in terms of some of the design work. Thanks to Dave and others who shared great opinions on some of the things that needed to be different. We have, for the Pine Tree Road residents, we are continuing to get correspondence from residents who are concerned, as we heard tonight, and so the committee asked that it be an agenda item for much more discussion at our next F&I meeting. And so I just wanted publicly to acknowledge that we are not ducking the issue, but we will be talking about it as well. I cannot think of anything else. The rest of it, like I said, was pretty much contract. Oh, I do have to share this. I know it went on a consent agenda, but I do have to say that we are sort of moving steadfastly ahead with the Department of Agriculture grant. We think it's a big deal, or we thought it was a big deal, a committee for recycling projects in mobile home parks, and really moving steadfastly ahead in getting people on board, making that happen. We're hoping, according to Mike, that one day we'll be considering the recycling of the actual mobile homes, because they do get abandoned and just sort of sit there in piles somewhere. So that's one of the things that is a seed planted, and the head of her department had to start thinking about that as well. So that's some good news to share. I can't think of anything else. The wildlife hazard assessment, RFQ, the airport committee did give its consensus for Bob to go ahead with that because of the incident with the Delta airline and deer on the airport runway. It is an FAA mandate that if anything like that happened, we have to do a wildlife assessment, and so that is on its way. The airport also is seeking interest for preferential use of the space, the boardroom or meeting room space at the airport. TC3 had a 10-year contract, and that has expired. So they're looking for new folks to sort of help adopt that room and use it, because it's great, really great meeting space. Let me back up just a little bit, because, again, this is good news. The wildlife assessment, Bob let us know that Bob Nicholas, being the airport manager, that he did receive a call from Senator Schumer's office that they had secured $100,000 for the wildlife assessment that needs to happen. So that was excellent news for us to get. I just flunked my notes, so bear with me. Papers everywhere. So just wanted to share those few things with you from our meeting.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Frank, and then Carol.
Leslie, two things. At some point, can we get a report on what we're selling our recyclables for, the value of by commodity?
Sure.
I mean, I think Barbara used to do that like quarterly or whatever.
Yeah.
Especially if we're embarking on a new program, even though we got a grant to do it, it'd be a good idea to see if it's a loss leader or we're going to make a few bucks on it.
All right.
The other one is, I caught wind of a tour that you guys went on.
I don't know about a tour.
Did you go on a tour recently?
We are. We invited ourselves to the tour that the board. Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. I didn't want to.
Anyhow, we were just going to tag along on the health department
tour.
No.
This was a recycling tour.
No, they went to a recycling tour already of a center, and Dave can perhaps tell us more about that because he just had a good time at the tour.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, let's see. I lost track of what day it was. It's been kind of hectic. I think it was Wednesday. But anyway, four of us went up to the Casella facility just north of Geneva. And had a very nice tour of that facility and saw all kinds of new and modern equipment that sorts all the recyclable material from glass to cardboard to paper, newsprint, you name it. And they have quite a modern facility, and I forget. What was it, 250 tons or something like that per day? I don't know. It was some huge number of material that they could sort. And one of the interesting things is that the glass goes through a breaking machine. It comes out, and you can literally pick it up and squeeze your hand on it, and it does not... There's no hard edges or no sharp edges on it when it gets done with that process. So, and some of that gets recycled for sandblasting and other things like that. Some of it for fill, but a lot of that stuff is actually recycled for glass sandblasting materials. So, it was quite interesting.
Let me tell you all, he was much more animated at the committee meeting on that. I think it's just, I just want to share. Our Hanshaw Road residents, I didn't want to not mention our Hanshaw Road residents because they continue to come to the F&I meeting and share their thoughts. We did get another proposed design change for portion of Hanshaw Road project from Mr. Hutchins, which all committee members got, and if any of our legislative colleagues is interested, we can make have copies made for you. So the residents continue to want to have some say and involvement in this project, and we do appreciate their input.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Leslyn, and I had Carolyn and Dooley.
Just a quick, I didn't take this off the consent agenda because I was in favor of it regardless of the answer, but I have I'm curious about the agriculture grant on the, to encourage the recycling for the rural mobile home parks and apartment complexes. And I just want to understand better, so are the apartment complexes that are part of this are rural apartment complexes? And do we have any idea, or can anybody tell me how many or how big the pilot project is?
You know what, I don't remember what the answer to that. The first, your first question, yes, they are rural apartment complexes. In terms of size, or I don't remember at the committee getting that information, but certainly we can try to find out or give Barb a call, and she's excited about this project, so she will like give you more information.
Thank you.
Answering that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, wasn't it to do that they were going to be doing some of these apartment complexes and mobile home parks in Newfield? They actually had a geographic area that they were going to be.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That actually does sound.
My recollection is that.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was.
Okay, thank you. Dooley.
Minutes, notes.
I just wanted to say to Frank that he had requested at a previous legislative meeting getting recycling revenue breakdown information, and I had passed that request on to Barbara. I had hoped by now you would have received the last one, but it's Barbara and Tom's intention to do that quarterly with the committee, so you're on the list certainly for October when we'll get it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
If I could just, Martha, just read a little portion of her minutes. It says, for Carol's, I'll see, that the pilot will start in Newfield and will provide education and work with local laws to the residents and recycling contractors. The pilot will include videos of the education that will then be used in other areas across the state. Following the one-year pilot, it will be expanded to other municipalities. So we would just be moving and shaking with the Solid Waste Division.
Okay, well, I would then just ask that when it's expanded that we consider city apartment complexes, if that's appropriate, as well as rural.
I'm sure the committee will take up any suggestions.
Sure, but on top of our vote at the committee.
All right. Thank you very much, Leslyn, for your report.
Yes.
Anything, something else?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have way too many papers.
For Capital Plan Review Committee, we will meet on Thursday at 3:30, this coming Thursday, September 9th. We did not meet during August. Government Operations Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Madam Chair, we met on August 19th, and most of what we talked about is covered in our resolutions tonight, but I want to mention a couple of things. One is that we're starting to talk about possibly taking some action to let our state legislators know about some of the dysfunction in Albany. For example, we've been starting to discuss whether we should have a resolution regarding a constitutional convention. We're also continuing to talk about the possibility of an independent redistricting commission. And I would ask anyone here on the legislature who has any potential folks that they would like to be considered, we're trying to develop a list of folks who are not necessarily legislators at this point who might be qualified folks to be considered for that kind of a commission when we recommend the appointments probably to the chair.
What commission was that, Mike?
The redistricting commission that we're talking about for after the results of the 2010 census come in, GO has been talking for the last two or three months about the idea of recommending an independent commission rather than a commission or a committee made up totally of county legislators to look at that issue. Yes, Will.
Go ahead.
Would that be an advisory body to the legislature?
It really has to be, because any changes would have to be done by local law, which would have to be accepted by this group through the local law process of public hearing and vote. So it has to be advisory. Unless we set up a local law, I suppose, and change the charter that said they could make the decision. But I guess I'd have to refer that to John. I don't know that we could do that or not.
And what types of skills or makeup are you looking for in general?
I think there need to be a variety of people, folks that are interested in good government, folks that know about the workings of county government, and whether they have an interest in political science, not necessarily political scientists, but the political science of redistricting, people who have experience in the state constitution or other things that they could bring to the table and help craft change districts if they're required.
And patience.
I'm sorry?
And patience.
And Peter
patience.
And then Jim.
I wonder if this isn't putting the cart before the horse. I think that I certainly would not be willing to hand over to an independent commission the job of figuring out what criteria they should use in redoing the districting. I would think that it's the legislative body that has to set down the rules, and then it's all well and good to take an independent commission to work with those priorities and to do the redistricting.
I think you're on target there, Peter, and I think that's what would happen. Some of the rules are spelled out right in our charter,
right?
And some of the parameters, and then there would have to be a charge from the legislature to this committee.
Yeah, but I think that would require a. I mean, I don't think that's just writing down some rules that are obvious. I would think there could be a fair amount of controversy about exactly what should be the
and that's why the GO committee is working on it, and when they are prepared, they'll bring a recommendation to us, I'm sure.
Okay. That's true.
Okay. Jim, did you have your hand up?
No, I'm going to pass.
Okay.
The other thing I want to talk about is something that Carol Chalk brought to us, and I want to commend Carol for that. Carol has a strong interest in some of the problems that have been experienced across the board with different kinds of advisory committees. And Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, but she'd like us to begin looking as a goal at, are there problems that can be corrected? Are there differences or similarities in the bylaws, provisions, that we need to address these problems we've had in the past about membership, who is appointed, whether there are vacancies, quorum, and those kinds of things. Carol, do you want to add to that? We kind of thought that this might make a good year-long project for the GO committee, perhaps starting next year.
But just that I raised the question of whether there are best practices or overall county aims and policies that we want to make sure to put down. I think there's only a one-sentence policy in our code, our charter, our code. Does that need to be expanded? But it wasn't a crucial issue that has to be resolved immediately.
An interesting topic that we probably should be looking at GO at some point. The other thing I want to mention before I take up the resolutions will be the issue of minutes that we've been talking about and the procedures. The subcommittee of GO has now met for three times, and we're pretty close to having a draft revised policy to send out to department heads and to our minute takers, naturally, and to the members of the legislature and the committee for comment back. There's a full policy procedure for changing policies. There's certain timelines that are in that. It's not likely we're going to be able to have a finalized revised policy until likely December in order to get through the waiting periods that are necessary for comment under the policy on policies that we have. I do want to say something in the meanwhile, though. This whole process of relooking at the minutes, some comments that are made by legislators and other things here, should in no way be looked at by the folks who take minutes as some kind of general criticism of the kind or quality of minutes that we have and have been receiving. I think I can speak for our whole GO committee in saying that we are very, very happy with the high level of professionalism that we have from our minute takers throughout the county, and those, not only the ones in our board office, but the ones in the various departments and the ones that work for our advisory boards and others, they do a wonderful job. This is not a criticism of them. This is simply a review of how we resolve issues in our own minds here at the legislature as legislators or as committee people to try to make the approval process more simplified. And I think that's an important point to get out there, and I hope that no one who takes minutes for us is looking at this as some kind of dissatisfaction.
Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate those comments. And I'm sorry, I see Billy will be next. I'm sorry that it's going to be taking that long. Is there any way to do some of these things simultaneously, or do the steps have to
There's a timeline, and we have to, for example, there has to be 3 weeks turnaround for this to go out to folks to review in across the county before we can then take the next step. And it's already here in September, so it's probably going to take another 12 weeks or something like that. We'll try to speed it up if we can, but it's better to get it done right. And
right.
I think that the policy we come forward with will be helpful.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure it will. Dooley?
Mike, will the subcommittee's recommended policy changes go through the GO committee before it goes out to department heads?
Yeah, they'll see that here. We're going to see the polished version. Pat and I, who are part of the subcommittee, hopefully this week. And then the next step, it'll go out to GO and probably the board chair and other interested parties like that. And it's going to go out after that broadcast.
Thanks.
Carol?
Yeah, I had a comment back on the redistricting question, just seeing the hands that popped up and the stir in the room as that subject came up. It occurred to me that some of the discussion that we, or the thinking that we talked about doing at GO in preparation for deciding how to proceed, was to call upon some of the experts in our community who've studied this question. We talked a little bit about the Brennan Center and the materials that they've put out about various approaches, the
yes, and we're actually planning to do some
biases
of that. I've actually invited one of our local experts to come in and talk to us about some state constitutional issues. Fortunately, I can't get that person here for September, so it's probably going to be the October meeting.
So the question that I have for you, and maybe for others here, is does it make sense, given the level of interest in this topic, to do that in another forum where that everybody can attend, or at presentation at the beginning of one of our meetings, or rather than... or in addition to the discussion.
I'm open
we'll
to that discussion.
It's a possibility. Nathan?
I would like the opportunity to present information that I learned over this coming weekend. I will be going to Los Angeles on a conference about redistricting, and the Brennan Center will be there. So okay. I will get lots of materials, and I'd like, you know, 10 minutes at the next meeting, and probably not in September, maybe October or something, too, to present what I hear.
We'd be happy to have you come.
Okay.
We have a long agenda still ahead of us, and I mean, this was sort of an update. The committee chairs are encouraged to give us updates. That doesn't mean have the committee work here at the legislature. So let's try to, you know, if you have questions and comments to particular committee chairs, I think that's, let's try to be crisp here in the meeting and save your comments and have those conversations separately. Because this isn't the discussion. This is just a little update
That's right.
The committee is continuing to talk about it. So you have several resolutions?
I do. I'd like to move to Resolution K, appropriation from contingent fund for terminal pay, information technology services. I move it.
Dooley seconds. Any comments, questions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, short form roll call for the contingent fund.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Resolution L, authorizing salary for the position of executive assistant to the county administrator, and I so move.
Is there a second? Jim seconds.
This resolution has to do with the reorganization in the department of in the county administrator's office that was started because of the resignation of the person who worked on budget, and this is his recommendation to us, and adjusts the salary levels based upon the experience level of the new person moving into that position.
Thank you, Mike. Any comments? Leslin?
I do have a comment, Madam Chair. I was at the Budget Committee when this resolution was presented, although it's about salary adjustment. As the chair of WDIC, I shared some of the sentiments of the members of WDIC as well as myself that our concern before we even got to the level of salary increase had to do with the process by which the position was filled. We understand that it is a county administrator, that a county administrator can do this, but as a WDIC, one of the things that we are respectfully hoping will happen is that throughout this county, when positions become open, especially given some of the climate we're in, where we have laid off employees and potentially going to be looking at laying off employees, that it be much more of an open process so that our employees internally can have the opportunity to apply, to express their interest, if they're interested in the position. We can't assess the level or skill level of others and know if they are appropriate for the position if we do not ask. And we feel very strongly that it's a process that we hope will be followed from here on out when we have things like this that don't necessarily go. We understand the difficulties of civil service and how much of a barrier it is. And this is one of the positions that's not a competitive position. And so to have it be more of an open sort of recruitment internally would have made all the difference to some people who are probably biting their fingernails about what might happen to their job and the option to be able to preserve some job for them could have been in this position. We also heard the discussion and about how timely this was because we were coming up in budget and we understand that, we can respect that. I can speak for myself, if, you know, I can understand and respect that, but also knowing how much work a lot of the other staff put into this budget process, I still don't feel I can speak for myself and for some other members that
it had to be done that rapidly and that immediate. So I wanted to make sure that my comments were made.
I'm going to ask Joe, do you want to respond in any way to this particular position in your department? You don't have to, but
I
want to.
I respect what Leslin, the point she's made. I understand them. I think I've explained the way this came to be in my office, so I'm comfortable to leave it where it is.
Okay. All right, Peter?
Well, I raised my hand to ask the department, the county administrator, to give an explanation, but if it's not necessary, then I'd like to call a question.
Based on the point of order that you made last meeting.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't think you can call a question, Mike.
I just want to say and stress this is a reorganization. Timing and being able to move somebody in the middle of the budget process because of this vacancy, I think, was why, in my view, and understanding the comments of the county administrator at our committee, what made this very important that this has moved ahead. I think we were fortunate to have a qualified person within that department to be able to step in. This is going to mean a reduction in the number of people in the county administrator's office to help him with his own administrator's budget face the reductions that he's going to have to look at, the same as all of the other department heads.
Jim, did I see your hand up?
No.
Okay. Pat?
I just wanted to say that in thinking about the procedure that has led us to this resolution tonight, that I feel like, at least speaking for myself, that I've been kept fully informed of the process that has led to the county administrator's reorganization of his office in such a way that he's actually reduced the number of personnel. It may have been precipitated by a particular person's leaving, but nevertheless, the way I regard this is as a reduction in staffing in that department, so that we're not actually replacing the position of the person who left. We're looking at a different position, and I think that in doing this, we have been kept fully informed all along the way. This is not the first time that we've heard about it. We've heard about it here at the legislature, and we've been hearing about it in the appropriate committee meetings when Joe has reported to us. And to raise an issue at this point about this procedure doesn't seem appropriate to me, that if there were going to be questions raised, they should have happened back at the beginning of the process. And I think given the timing of the departure of the county person who left and the kind of pressure that the administrator's office was in at that moment in time in trying to prepare for tonight's budget presentation, I think that he's done a remarkable job of being able to pull together a very difficult process, having lost the person that he most depended on to do that work. And I really have to say that I have a great deal of respect for not only for the work that's been done, but I respect the fact that there has been a reduction in his office and that the work has gotten accomplished, even though he lost the best right-hand person to work on that during that period of time.
I have a few hands. I see Nate. Jim was next.
I'm going to call the question.
Is there a second on that? Will seconds that. There's no debate. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes 11-3. So it is time to vote on the resolution, Resolution L. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of the resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? 1. That passes 13 to 1. All right. Thank you very much.
I'd like to resolution M, authorization to enter into an agreement with the Greater Tompkins County Municipal Health Insurance Consortium for New York State Shared Municipal Services Incentive Program. And I move that.
Is there a second? Dave seconds that one. Is there a drum roll? Frank?
A drum roll is right. Question for clarity and then a question about procedure. In the resolved on line 33, is the August 16th date the appropriate date?
It was the appropriate date at the time this was submitted. I think it makes sense to keep that date in there. What we're trying to convey to the state is we are done, and we're ready to go. So, I mean, if there's a desire to change that to today, I suppose it's okay.
I didn't know, so whatever, it's appropriate. The other procedural question, David, this may be one for you. Does this resolution initiate the setting up of any sort of an account, or does it just authorize the signing of an agreement?
I'm not clear what you mean. This resolution authorizes the county to participate in the consortium. The consortium itself, when it goes into effect, is going to be treated as an independent entity apart from the county?
Okay. The reason I'm asking is that at the appropriate time, I need to disclose that I suspect at some point the bank I work for will bid on that, even though I'm not doing it. I would suspect that at some point they may bid on holding that account, along with other financial institutions, and I think it's appropriate for me to disclose that. But I didn't know if that's not the step here, then I'd like the opportunity to vote on this. Otherwise, I'll refrain if you advise.
As soon as the consortium is formed, there will be a call to all the participants to fund the reserve account. So this will be a two-step process, so that once everybody is signed on and we're all in the consortium, and the consortium is now in business, that will trigger the call for the capital reserves. And our commitment, as you recall, is $500,000. So,
right.
So this could, hopefully, will follow shortly after this. The consortium will be set up, and then again, we will begin to deposit money into that.
I mean, I want to disclose to the to my colleagues, I'm not earning anything from this arrangement whatsoever, but I do need to let you know that I'm an employee of the bank.
But that's not happening now, so.
Good.
Okay.
So I don't have to refrain.
You don't have to tell us. We just told us. But as you've told us. So
Leslie.
No way
to get a piece of the action? I mean,
it's like Rachel, her name is Rachel Alexander.
Your salary be
dependent on it? And then Nathan.
I have a question on the resolve. Authorizes the chief elected official of Tompkins County. Can somebody tell me who that is?
Chief elected official would be Martha.
Because normally it'll say the chair of the legislature. I'm not sure if that's language it has to be there, or does it say the county administrator or chair of the legislature?
Isn't this
is that some specific language it needs to say?
Most
that?
Of the members, all the other members of the consortium have chief electeds, mayors and supervisors. So this was a boilerplate resolution for all the
correct.
TCOG members. Do we want to change? We can certainly change that. But it's written for all the other TCOG members.
We understand that it's
you can sign it.
which is fine. I just needed an explanation on what that is, and maybe there's a little memo that says that's the chair of the legislature.
That's in the charter.
That's on.
Kathy said,
what's in the charter?
The chief elected official.
Chief elected official.
Is the chair of the legislature. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. Nathan?
I was at the Labor Day picnic. I was yesterday. Somebody talked about how no one is strong alone, and it made me really think of this consortium, actually, because, you know, with new healthcare reform, you know, policy that's out there. I mean, there's going to be more, even more of an incentive for healthcare organizations, physician practices, hospitals, and employers to pull together as much as possible to be a formidable force when it comes to being at the negotiating table. And I think that we're way ahead of the curve with this. And so, again, you know, I keep on saying it every time this comes up, but I really do applaud all the work that's been done here. It's going to be excellent.
Thank you, Nathan. Jim?
My only comment would be, applaud the work that has been done over many years. And I believe if we could do this within the legal framework, that we should try to expand this to other counties and get them involved in the same sort of a thing that could save taxpayer money everywhere.
Nathan?
And I just wanted to add that quickly is that I have some friends that are politicos and, you know, elected officials in Tioga County, Chemung County, and they're asking, like, can we join with you? Or how do we do it? And so it's word is spreading, and I hope it spreads throughout all of New York State.
Well, we're going to have a really high entrance fee just to recover the blood and guts of Don Barber and Joan Mariana. But other than that, I think I saw Dooley's hand.
Yeah, it's a language question. Line 14 refers to creating a local municipal health care consortium, but what we've done is create a local health insurance consortium. Is health care the right word there anyway?
I actually think the word insurance might be a better word to put in there.
I just wasn't sure. Okay.
Okay, is that a friendly,
change?
Okay, and seconder? Okay.
A second question.
Yep.
On line 17. My recollection is that the intent was to provide benefits comparable to the then existing benefits so that nobody would feel worse off. And that language isn't in here. I would like to see it added if that's acceptable. By providing benefits comparable to existing ones and a net saving to the taxpayers.
Is that friendly?
It's friendly.
Okay. Got that, Kathy? Great. Anything else? Anyone else? I would like to, would like to again thank Joe and Don Barber, Chair of the Council of Governments and Chair of the Consortium Board, who just really wouldn't let this one die. And they tried to kill it. But I would also say that I think that the addition of the joint committee and that's in this resolution and the participation directly of labor representatives in the governance structure is a strength. I think that the reason this was so hard is that this is definitely going to be a model for other counties across New York State. If there's a way to just make this one bigger group, maybe that's the best thing to suggest. And I seriously hope that nonprofits would be able to, nonprofit agencies that work for us would be able to be included in that umbrella. And I know Joe's going to be making recommendations to back to state insurance, and I hope those are among them. So, ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is happily unanimous. All right. Thank you very much. Mike, anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam Mackesy, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Planning Committee met on Wednesday, September 1st. Something that will come up at our next meeting, and we won't go into it now, but I just want to touch on it, was we actually passed at the committee a resolution supporting intermunicipal cell tower initiative, kind of a cooperative effort on the siting of cell towers, but we can talk about that next time. We had a discussion about filling the 67 vacancies that are on the Water Resources Council. If you know people who are interested in being part of that, they might want to...
Did you say 67?
627. Did it sound like I said 67?
Yeah.
Well, that would be quite the Water Resources Council. Okay, sorry.
That would be diluted representation.
It should be really watered down. That's right.
Yeah.
Then we brought forward the, and we have this with us now, and I don't need to go into it. Endorsing the Tompkins County 2020 Energy Strategy, which is an action item for us tonight. We approved the guidelines for capital reserve funds for natural, scenic, and recreational resource protection.
Will that be coming to this?
No. We approved two new members to the Planning Advisory Board, David Kay and Kathy Slaughter. And then just the strategic tourism items that we have before us tonight. So that is my report on the committee, and I would like to move resolution N, accepting the county administrator's report regarding strengthening the county's tourism efforts and authorizing a senior planner position within the Tompkins County Planning Department to support the Strategic Tourism Planning Board and coordinate the county's tourism activities, and I so move.
I second.
And Carol seconds that. Frank, Pam, do you want to introduce this first?
Well, I think Joe should talk about this. I mean, this has been a long time coming, and Carol put in a lot of work. Both Carol and I worked on this, and Joe has spent many long hours consulting and talking with people, trying to come up with the best possible solution and idea, and I think he did a great job. And so I think that he should really talk a little bit about what he has done, if he wants to.
I will be very brief. This really is the culmination of a year and a half, if not longer, of work trying to assess the needs of the STPB, which are pretty significant. This is a volunteer board that does work well beyond what we could reasonably expect of a volunteer board, and really coordinates the spending of $1.7 million to $1.8 million of essentially our tax money to make sure that it goes to the right places, is invested well, and gets a good return. STPB asked us for this kind of help to look at providing support to them, and agreed that it would be a good investment of room tax funds to support this effort. So the past couple of years has actually set aside $100,000 of room tax money to be able to support this kind of assistance. In looking at the best way to accommodate that and basically drive the tourism agenda for the future, we looked at a variety of options. To spare you of all those, we settled on one that we think is the best approach, which is to add the tourism function to our planning department, to create a position at a senior planner level within planning, to do a variety of tasks that are referenced in the report and the resolution that, again, are all intended to maximize the impact of the tourism dollars that we invest in this community. Again, the title that's proposed is Senior Planner. I think we all know from what we've seen our planners do that they're very versatile. We have planners in a generic title that do housing. We have planners in generic titles that do energy. And I'm very confident that with a planner title in the planning department, tasked to do what we've asked that person to do in this resolution and the report, we really can get the biggest bang for that $1.8 million of tourism dollars that we generate each year, and hopefully make that a larger amount over time. I could spend longer if you'd like, but there is a report. The resolution is almost as long as the report itself. So if you have any questions about this, I can certainly answer them.
Thank you very much, Jim. Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the committee meeting, I expressed some concern about the position, principally because, since then I've checked with some of the STPB members, apparently the job description that was given to them was not the same job description as we had to look at the planning committee. The one at the planning committee was for a senior planner. The one at the STPB was something different. and it hearkened to more of an emphasis on tourism, and required somebody, or at least suggested that somebody have that kind of a background. I expressed that position at the committee meeting, and that was one of the reasons I voted no on this particular thing, because I wanted some time to do a little research, and that's what I was able to ascertain. I'm not uncomfortable with this, but I really want to make sure that, with all due respect to our planning department, this is a position that is funded by the tourism board. It's not funded directly by the county. It's out of the room tax. And it's, when we set this up low so many years ago, we wanted to emphasize the need for generating tourism. And that was, we have been very successful at doing that. With all due respect to the folks in the planning department, even though some have said this is really an administrative position, yes, part of it is, but part of it is somebody needs to be a tourism-related individual. The job description that we're working with alludes to, but is not specific, that the individual have tourism, have that kind of a background or at least some exposure. This is only a pilot, 2 years. I'm willing to buy into that for that period of time, and I'll support this, but I would, and one of the concerns was that we get periodic reports to the planning committee on how this is working out, because we want to make sure that the direction is to make sure that tourism is the emphasis here. Having said all that, I want to go back to something Leslin said earlier about the previous position in administration, and I'll make it quick, Martha. I don't know where this falls in the scheme of things as to whether it has to be, you know, how the recruitment is going to take place, but I think sort of endorse what Leslin's concern was, that some effort be made, and I'm sure we will, for outreach, so that anyone that wants to apply for this, regardless of where they sit and where they are in county government or not, that this be open to the general community, so that individuals who have an interest that a minority community members have a shot at this job. Thank you.
Jim, you had your hand up?
Yes. It's my impression this position is a senior planner with a task or many tasks dealing with tourism. It's also my impression, and I'm willing to be corrected, that a person in this job doing the task of the tourism board and dealing with all the issues is going to be doing other things, or is it 100% tourism person?
The position will be dedicated to tourism. I mean, there may be time from time to time there will be some spillover, but really the intent is, and the funding source is from tourism.
But the job description is for a senior planner, mm-hmm. with tourism tasks. That's
correct.
Where the emphasis.
That's right. That's right.
Leslie and then Carol.
I just want to request. Thank you, Frank. I just want to request another copy of the job description for myself. Thank you.
Oh, I just want to take a minute to recognize all of the people over these many years who have built this program to the point where it is ready for a step like this. Starting with Frank, the program income when you got involved in this was zero for the tourism, the occupancy tax, and when I got involved with that group first, it was I think about $400,000 in a year, and it's now what, up, getting closer to $2 million, and that didn't happen without an incredible amount of work since 1980-something or other by many, many volunteers, the STP board and the many members, the administrators of what is now 15 defined programs that group runs, have just worked so hard. Most of that has happened as volunteers, so administrators are not all paid for all of those programs. And there are no perfect solutions about how to go about taking this to the next step. Joe and the board looked at many models about how to do it, at job descriptions, the question of whether to put tourism in the title or not, or whether that then recreates the CVB job, which wasn't the intent. And I think Joe's come up with just an incredible distillation of something that will work, that everybody agrees will work as a way to try this. It recognizes that it builds in a way to look at it again in 2 years. It recognizes that this needs to be paid with the occupancy tax, which I'll refresh people's memories. Residents who get to vote at the voting booth decide who pay the property tax get to vote in the election booth for us. Visitors who pay the occupancy tax don't do that. They vote with their feet. So the professional attention to this program, both to how it's run as well as that the individual programs within it are run well, were just taken into account. And there was extensive discussion at the STP about the job description, and the overlap between the kinds of programs that the planning department, some of the programs that the planning department runs, and that isn't distinct from the aims of the county. Things like lakefront access. We just recently passed a Blue Ways grant approach. So I just think a lot of people have worked very hard and have come to something that I think will work. So
thank you, Carol. Are we ready to vote?
We are.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Joe, on that. And thank you, Pam. Is that it for?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yep. Oh.
You all should have on your gotten Tompkins County 2020 Energy Strategy, which is the subject of the next resolution. It's called Endorsing the Tompkins County 2020 Energy Strategy, and I so move.
Dave seconds. So, Pam, you want to intro this?
I would like to just say that in my travels, I've been going around to four other counties besides ours, and when I talk about some of the things that we are doing and the fact that we have this plan in place to reduce our carbon footprint by reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, that we actually have a plan in place, people are in awe. They are very impressed with this.
Yeah.
And so I just have to say that I'm even more impressed now with our planning department and their foresight and thoughtfulness. And I think that we should heartily endorse this. And if Ed wants to give us some details on this, it's fine, but I hope that everybody will get behind it.
Ed, do you want to have anything to say here?
Well, you had a presentation at your last meeting. We did a follow-up meeting with TCAT representatives and made a few adjustments to the language to help better reflect their interests and concerns, and I think the document's ready for your endorsement. I would, if you're thinking about what does this mean, think about the housing strategy. It's a similar type of thing. We identified some actions the community could take. We didn't know exactly how we were going to get them done or when they would all get done. But since that was endorsed, we've made some very tangible progress working cooperatively in the community to move forward the strategies and that strategy. So this, we hope, will have the same effect over time.
Thank you very much, Ed. Anything else? Ready to vote? Peter? Oh, okay. Peter, Frank, Dooley.
I just wanted to point out that I didn't quite realize until looking at it that 2020 didn't mean visionary. It meant a date. But that's...
Yes, that's true. It's a
but that's a nice choice.
Frank.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Ed, I really want to thank you for you and Katie and Fernando for coming to the TCAT group in order to clarify what was going on. You know, I've had some concerns about adding this to the comprehensive plan, even though the because this will become part of the county's comprehensive plan under that section of the report. The concern that I've expressed, even though the resolution is carefully worded in that it says there's this just simply endorses the strategy, as you read the line 18, implications associated with endorsing the strategy, implementation of many aspects would have financial implications. I realize the document says that monies will be hopefully coming from sources in addition to the county. As I added it up, it's over $4 million in order to accomplish the strategies that are outlined here. It also involves adding personnel. I'm probably not going to support this simply because of the implications and long-range implications, particularly with the budget presentation we heard earlier this evening. I remind you I was the lone no vote on the comprehensive plan, but I use it to promote other items. So we all have to stand up for what we can defend, and I think I can defend this one successfully. I'm really a little bit concerned that we're buying into something that will eventually, by taking small bites, is going to be an extremely expensive but worthwhile effort. And I'm very concerned that this may be, as Brian said earlier, the beginning of a long path of financing that we need to examine carefully. Thank you.
Dooley?
Well, I think it will be more expensive if we don't do this than if we do this.
Sure.
But that's not what I wanted to talk about, since in real life I'm on the editorial staff of peer-reviewed scientific journals. I have to say that I absolutely endorse the content of the energy strategy, but I do not and cannot endorse the shorthand abbreviation for the carbon dioxide equivalent units that is used in this strategy. and it's not a triviality to me, so let me speak. All greenhouse gases are converted to their equivalent in carbon dioxide for simple way to talk about these things. And metric tons are the common terms used to refer to the carbon dioxide equivalents. Now, throughout the world, the scientific community uses the International System of Units, the modern metric system, in which a capital M stands for mega, which means 10 to the 6, which means a million, and a metric ton in scientific usage is converted to grams, specifically 1,000 kilograms, which is the same thing as 1 megagram, that's capital M, small g, megagram, to see our strategy. The planning department, I understand the planning department being reluctant to fully adopt the metric system since the rest of the county doesn't use it. But to use this hybrid made-up nomenclature, capital M, little t, I find confusing and unnecessary and personally very embarrassing. Ed knows how I feel about this. The committee knows how I feel about it. But I can't just simply vote for this strategy without saying, I think we're doing something foolish by using this really unnecessary abbreviation in a county document. So to be positive about this, I would like to move a substitute terminology in the document, simply defining at the start of the document that we will use T, little t, which usually stands for tons, to mean metric tons throughout the document, and to occasionally refer to metric tons of CO2 equivalents here and there, but to drop the capital M, little t, which in the English language usually means mountain. So that's my motion. I don't know if I have a second.
Well, is there a second? Then that fails for lack of a second.
So I would appreciate a summary of my remarks in the minutes.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote? All right, all in favor of resolution O, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jim, are you handing? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? And one that passes 13 to 1. Thank you very much. And anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Budget and Capital Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
I'm sorry. There's a complete count census committee.
We haven't finished counting yet.
Oh.
Okay. I'll let you know.
I didn't want to jump on your committee there.
I thought we could skip that one this time, right. And apparently we can't. So, right. Okay.
Let me just start out by saying, I don't know how you can be against a comprehensive plan, but let me go to the budget.
That doesn't need an answer.
Right now.
How can you tolerate that? Martha, you're the chairman.
Apple pie, isn't it? Come on.
You know. Grenade.
I did not say anything during the time that Joe presented his budget, and I felt like it was okay for me to do that because all of you I could feel warming up to with your questions and comments, and I'm just desperately looking forward to everything beginning on September 13th, and we will begin this whole process on the 13th at 4 o'clock, and as you well know, we've broken it down into a variety of committees. The first week we'll be looking at the administration overview, TCAT, FDCADA, a break, county clerk, airport, and solid waste. I will start at 4, and I endeavor to end at 7, if not sooner. And I realize that all of you were not in love with the schedule that we put out, but it is the schedule, and we will try to abide by what we have done. I appreciate the effort on the budget that the county administrator and the executive assistant have done, and under pretty a lot of duress in terms of being able to get something pulled together in a very quick time when a lot of the knowledge on the county budget walked out the door to another job, and through no fault of ours. My sense is that Joe has spent many years doing budgets, and he and staff had to work really hard to get this one together. Given the fact that it was not an easy budget to put together, given the financial constraints that we're all facing and department heads are facing. So I'm realizing that every department had to go in, sit down, work on their budget, and we got what we got. And I think we will do our very best over the next 2 months to figure out how the county budget looks in Tompkins County for next year and even beyond in some cases, because we do have to, I agree with many of the comments I heard around the table about having to look forward in doing things. Along with this, we will not have our regularly scheduled budget meetings, except as we have to add items to the agenda when we start out. Hopefully during this time we will have a discussion about the rollover policy. I have heard much about that through the 5 years I've been here, and it's always good to have a further explanation what the policy is, how it's being operated, what are the pluses and minuses of it as it currently exists. And I will make every attempt to do that. The first meeting, and this is mundane, but there was some question about food for meetings. Will had given a suggestion about individual legislators bringing things, and we haven't decided on that. I don't know that that's an adopted policy. What I can promise you is the first meeting I will supply the food, and then after that we'll figure out what we're going to do, but I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out right now. So let me go ahead, Nate.
Oh, I just wanted to know.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're the chair.
Well, I was waiting until you were finished, Jim, so.
Yeah.
All right, Nathan.
I was wondering for that first meeting if there was the ability to conference call in, because I will be on a road trip with my 76-year-old grandfather and would love to, listen to something while I'm on the way.
I think with the technology wizards that we all have.
Nathan, can you repeat what you said, please?
I'm sorry?
Can Nathan repeat?
I will be away on a road trip with my 76-year-old grandfather, and at that exact time, Pacific Standard Time. So
well,
I was wondering if I could
call. If Gramps has any questions, let him jump in, too.
Why don't you talk to Kevin and see what we can figure out?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
I think we can do that.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not going to say any more about that. I look forward to the process. We will do it, and we will do the best we can. And hopefully all of you will still be sort of friends when we walk out of here in October and November. Let me just move to the resolutions.
Jim, hold on before we go there. I've got Frank, Carol, and then Mike.
Okay. All right.
Jim, I just want to thanks for the long explanation. And Karen mentioned that we should be receiving by the end of the week, hopefully, the breakdown of what the department's schedule is.
Yes.
Is the one.
Yeah.
But back to your comment about the comprehensive plan, there was an animated discussion at the planning committee, but Carol's name will go unmentioned. Regarding that zoning and planning might be a subversive communist or socialistic plot, but I'd rather Carol said
okay,
what she
Carol's
said.
Carol's next, though.
So. I'd like to know, refresh my memory, for those of us who might need to miss any of these meetings or a portion thereof, are they taped? Are they videotaped? Are they... Do we have the ability to watch them later? They are.
Yeah, I think to the extent that Jim can get them broadcast, Jim Blizzard can get them broadcast live, they get broadcast live, and then they, maybe as Jim is listening, Jim, can you step out and give us a summary? Maybe he's asleep back there, Jim. Well, we'll find out.
No,
we'll find out what the, if there's
why
a separate...
Why would he asleep?
Who knows? We will... We'll make sure people know when they're on and on what channel, et cetera.
I put them online.
Step to the mic, please.
Yeah. It's mic down.
Hello.
I put them online whenever there's no conflict with the city meeting, and then put them on the internet usually by the morning after or the night of the meeting. So audio's online if anybody needs to review that, and then the video takes longer to record and put on the web, so that'll be up sometime the day following the meeting.
So would we find them under the budget committee or under legislature?
The legislature homepage has the link to the audio video site, and on that site near the top there's a link to the budget meetings.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, Nathan, okay? All right. All right, Mike.
I think it'd be great if Nathan can listen in and maybe share if he's on the road. But I think that he would, in order to vote, I think he'd have to be present. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. The first meeting is not a voting meeting. The voting meetings will not begin until after about meeting number 8. So.
And I just want to echo the last thing you said, Jim, that you hope by the end of it we're all friends. I mean, it's going to be a tough season, and people, tempers will get short, and there will be a lot of work to do and a lot of hard stuff to decide on. And, I think we can all do that in a spirit of mutual respect and respect for our staff and the citizens of the county as well.
That's why the food is important.
Yep. Right. Okay, Jim, you hear your resolutions.
Let me just say, the rest of the committee meeting on, I believe it was August 23rd, you see the results here, and there was some discussion about some other things, and frankly, I can't remember what it is. And I've been pretty much involved with thinking about the budget and all that, so... let me move item P, amendment of resolution number 121 of 2010, budget adjustment appropriation of unspent funds from 2009 to various accounts.
Is there a second? Frank seconds that. Any discussion? All right, this is a short form roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? Pat is raising her hand as no. So that passes 13-1.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Fine. Authorizing special retirement. This is resolution Q. Authorizing special retirement incentive to all eligible employees for the period September 15, 2010 through March 31, 2011. And I would move that.
Leslin seconds that. Mike. Or Jim, do you want an intro?
Well, I just wanted to say that this was put together by the Commissioner of Personnel, the County Administrator, and Ed Al, and we have looked at the demographics of this and of the people that we potentially think could retire, and it would be beneficial to people who were nearing the age of Medicare eligibility. And if they decided to, go into retirement, it would save them some significant money over the first couple of years they have left county service. And the breakage for us would be how we would choose to replace them and all the associated things that go with putting people in a job. And it may help even in the situation of, as the budget goes forward and we're looking at a reduction in staff, that, it could help or save some money in the unemployment area, which is a very expensive thing for us in the county when someone, is asked to leave and we have to pay unemployment. So there are a variety of things. I don't think it's going to be a huge windfall to the county. But it may be a way that some people might think it would be a good time for them to, cut the cord with the county in one sort of a way. My sense is that there were people who asked us through email and phone calls that why didn't we adopt some of the plans that were put forth by New York State. And Joe, I believe, explained to us more than once that it would have been costly for us to do that when you started multiplying what you would have to pay in retirement so that people would decide to leave early or accept retirement. So if you have any questions, I will do the best I can to answer, and certainly Joe can answer some of them.
I've got Mike and then Pat and then Frank.
Two things. First, I made a mistake on the last vote, and I intended to vote against it. It may be too late now, but I'd like that specified in the minutes that I had intended to vote no because it was a rollover spending.
I think it is too late
to
change
the
vote.
I realized that I made a mistake, and I just wanted to put that in the minutes.
He could move to reconsider.
The other thing is I wanted to speak to Q, if I could. And it's come to my attention that there's federal money available to states and localities under the health insurance bill to help pay for the cost of health insurance for early retirees between the ages of 55 and 65. And I'm not opposed to this resolution. I'm in favor of it. But my concern here is, if we move forward with this quickly, are we in any way foreclosing our opportunity to receive some of those funds?
Gotcha.
No, we are going to be applying for those funds. So we're going to take a run at that money. This does not close the door on us applying for or hopefully receiving that funding. I think the timing issue right now is, if we know that this is a tool available to departments as a part of the budget process, this will help in some of the roster adjustments that we know we need to make for 2011.
Thank you.
Let me just add that Mike emailed me and others about this issue, that, and I really appreciate the fact that he was alerted to this by a magazine or an article in the Albany Times Union, I believe. And the staff has looked at it, so thanks for doing that.
Thank you. Pat, did you have?
I've changed my mind.
Okay, Frank.
My question was answered.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike, thanks for doing that, because that answered my question, too, on that part. Jim, do you have any idea, or Joe, is there a ballpark as to, A, how many people might be eligible, and how many, have you had any inkling as to how many, could this be worth to us?
Well, we know how many would be eligible. There's about 200 county employees who are age 55 or older, so that was really the eligibility pool. The uncertainty is how many of those individuals may take advantage of this, right. And all we can do is rely on what we're hearing from department heads. So we haven't done a poll of employees, but we have talked to department heads about whether they think this would be an effective incentive for their employees. And really, to a person, we're hearing from department heads that, yes, they believe in some cases it will be. Jim made the point, I don't think this is going to have a wholesale change on things, but I do believe that there will be a number of individuals who will find the savings enough for them to make that decision to go into retirement. So, you know, I'd hate to make a prediction, Frank. Let's say it's...
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah. In terms of costs, the two-year cost of the county, I put in the memo, if a person receives individual health care coverage, then the cost of the county we're talking about is $4,300. If the individual elects family coverage, the cost over 2 years to the county would be a little less than $12,000. So the cost of this is very low. And then the impact, you know, if an individual, if just a few individuals take the benefit, and that reduces the need for layoffs in the workforce, there are certainly savings that will far offset the cost of the incentive.
Good. Thanks,
Brian.
Thanks, Martha. I voted against this in committee, and I'm really not hearing anything yet that would change my mind again. I understand what Joe's saying in terms of the relatively low cost to the county, and it's almost because of that. And again, I understand the breakage between a higher salary and hiring someone in or not filling that position, but I don't see this as, and you just alluded to the fact that there was some of your staff that are telling you that it's possible that they're going to take this option, and I've got nothing against people taking options or retiring early or whether it's on time or what it is, but I see this as a potential cost to the county for people that would be leaving anyway, that it's really not something that pushes them over the edge to leave, but amounts to an additional lump going for somebody that was going to leave anyway. That's the way I see it. I've spoken to a lot of people about it, and I can't get convinced the other way. And if you can do it, please do.
Yeah, I guess I have two responses. One is I think the department heads do have a good sense of what might work with their employees, and I think we can rely on the fact that they believe this will be effective. I think whenever you talk about any early retirement incentive, the risk is they're going to go anyway. So as we look at our options, and the options had been, do you go with the state plan or do you go with the local plan that we've proposed? And in terms of the state plan, our cost was huge.
Sure.
60% of final average or 110% of final average to coax that person into retirement, and the risk would, I think, be the same. The risk was they were going to retire anyway. So we've basically contained that risk. We've hit an argument where we think people have real concerns. We've heard from a number of folks that is the barrier that's keeping them from employment. And then we've limited that incentive to a two-year period of time so that after that 2 years is done, they'll go back to the regular retiree rate. So I think it's a very cost-effective approach. I think the risk-reward is in our favor.
And I would just add that really the big savings is if you don't fill that position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, well, there's also a savings with, you know, breakage from somebody that's been there 25 years versus hiring someone in. You know,
well, actually, no, because the work rate is the same. Once somebody gets past the probation rate, the work rate is the same whether they've been there 1 year or 25
but
years.
For all bargaining units?
No. No.
No.
No. No, because people have been there 25 years and have received increases in their contracts over time. So there's a starting rate and a work rate, and in most cases, if you're brand new, your work rate is going to be much lower than someone who's been here 25 years.
But if somebody's hired into that same position,
no, it's just they have the cost of living increases over their time.
Right, but.
Joe, help me out.
There's a short period of time when they make less than the person that they've replaced. Yeah. It's a relatively short time here. And you go from the starting step to the highest step within a period of 9 or 12 months. But there is a savings that occurs at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
There's an additional savings, though, with the Tier 5 now in the pension system.
Yep.
Instead of paying that 16% pension rate, I think it's 20% less than that, so it would be 3 points off of that. So there's a savings there as well
mm-hmm.
in that transition.
Yep.
Peter?
It just occurred to me that one could probably limit or maybe even eliminate the exposure that the county has to one of these by waiting a couple of months before you hire a replacement.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A good answer.
Anyway.
May I call a question?
All right. I think we're ready to vote, so. Okay. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1, 2. That passes 12-2. Thank you, Jim. Anything else?
Yeah, that concludes the report. And, you know, September 13th, 4 o'clock, right here.
All right. Thank you for providing some refreshments, Jim. Nathan Chinagawa, Public Safety Committee.
I would like Brian to give this report, please.
Thank you, Nathan. Last meeting of the Public Safety Committee was today, September 7th, 2010. Very important date for me. I'm still shaking a little bit over the chairmanship of that meeting, but we got through it.
He did good. Yeah.
And a subject I know nothing about. But
no.
I'm kidding. There will be a couple of resolutions that we did. Oh, and thank you to Pat for coming.
Thank Mike also for letting me go to my other meeting.
And Mike for allowing it. Yes.
It was an unusual time for the committee meeting, so we had a little bit of miscommunication.
From the probation department, there will be a couple of items on the consent agenda for our next legislative meeting from the contingent fund. We were visited by Sheriff Meskel. He gave a brief report on the jail. He also he mentioned earlier in his presentation here where he was discussing reentry program
that occurs at the county jail, dealing with training of inmates for when they are released back into the public. We really didn't expound upon that a whole lot, and I did ask him to come back at our next meeting to review this document with hopefully the entire committee, because I'm, you know, he agreed to do that because there may be some stuff on here that's worth more discussion. I'm sure that there is. We were also visited by Lee Shurtleff from Emergency Management. He's actually come a couple of other times to Public Safety to advise that that he's recommending that his office get out of the alarm answering business. And we've had enough discussions within committee that he's just moving forward with that at this point. I know that it's got, it comes down to volume, which actually comes down to possible liability issues, that sort of thing, as far as being able to adequately answer those alarms. The volume has gone up fivefold probably in recent history, and they just can't handle it, nor should they have to. There's plenty of answering services out there that can do that as their only job and much more efficiently, and they can then call the 911 center. So we gave him the blessing. Go ahead, just move forward with that, and we'd let him know that if there were any concerns along the way, we would certainly let him know. And the meeting took, you know, it went like this. I mean, it was about 40 minutes, and so we could all learn a lesson from that.
All right, that's good. So committee should have three members only, is that?
Well, you know, I'm not gonna.
He's just saying.
I'm not gonna,
talk to
you know, really badmouth. Well, no, I guess I won't.
We had a totally brand new committee.
That's right. I didn't even know these people.
Well, thank you, Brian. Really, thank you for stepping in.
Yep.
Nathan.
Yeah, I went to a. I took a tour of the communication center with Lee about 2 weeks ago or so. And hung out there for a couple hours, and it was really cool. I've never been there before, and I've been to, except for the new Brown Road, I think I've been to every county building, except I missed that one over the years, and so it's really neat to actually go there and see everything that happens. And the two coolest places, of course, were, the first one was the server room, okay? All right, because I'm a huge nerd, as many of you know. And so I went to the server room, and it is amazing how, I mean, if you think that county government wastes money, go to this server room and you will see how we make use of every single part. There were laptops that were that thick, all right, like that thick, linked to each other that we were using still to maintain some of our systems. It was really just incredible. And it's a great server room, very state-of-the-art in terms of being able to expand for when we get these, when we get our new mobile data systems. So then I also went into the area where the actual dispatchers are, and I saw the systems that they currently work with, and they talked about what systems they would eventually move to once we have our the new system fully implemented. And, I mean, right now, I mean, it's just, you know, they have to move in between, you know, binders of paper and looking at three different programs. I mean, really just time-consuming, which I can understand if you're not well-trained, could be you know, life-critical. For somebody that's calling. With our new systems, I mean, it's going to be so much more instantaneous for them, and it's going to provide so much better service, better than the already great service that they're providing. So it was a great experience, and I wanted to thank Lee. If I had remembered that the meeting was today, I was planning on saying all these things directly to him. That I
you didn't have to announce that you'd forgotten.
I apologize. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Did you have your hand up, Carol?
Well, I just have a question about how, this is for somebody who was at the meeting, how it saves us money or work if a private company takes over the calls, the alarm calls, and then turn around and call 911 that comes to our dispatch center. I'm not understanding how that saves us work.
Here's my answer. Joe?
There are monitoring responsibilities that involve large labor costs. And those responsibilities are increasing over time as regulations get tighter and the demands on those who are in the alarm business, as we are, get greater. There's a lot more cost involved in monitoring those alarms. So Lee's looked at that, and given liability issues and cost issues, feels that the best way for us to deal with it is phase our involvement out. So we're not going to call people tomorrow and say we're no longer in the alarm business. We're going to provide plenty of notice to our customers so that they have time to figure out their best options and make that shift.
And do we currently get an income from those customers?
No.
Yeah, and that was...
And that doesn't pertain to county buildings. We're keeping
that's correct
the county building.
Nathan, you want to add something?
Oh, and also, I mean, just in terms of efficiency, from the efficiency standpoint that you were talking about, Carol. I mean, with any alarm system, you know that you get false alarms constantly, and so and it's a similar thing. So yes, I would say that if it was a call that required 911, yes, it would be easier. But that is a minority of the type of alarm calls that come in.
Peter and then Pat.
Well, I'll just repeat a concern that I expressed at the meeting. I'm not sure about it, but it just did go through my head that essentially what we're doing here is we have a critical part of fire safety, which we were performing before, and we're now effectively saying we're not going to do that anymore and suggesting to the people that rely on our service that they contact a private contractor and pay that private contractor for the service that we were providing. That's roughly that's what we're doing, and that's fine. I have no objection to that, but the concern I had is, are we sure that all of the available people that they might contract to do this are in fact providing that service at the level that we think is necessary to give good fire protection to everybody in the area. That I just raised that question, and I do nothing except raise it now again.
I
think that's an obligation of ours.
It's my understanding that the city had been doing some of this, and they're getting out of the business also.
Exactly.
I had Pat and Carol.
My understanding was also that, as Lee explained it, was that in fact, because of the increased cost, in order for the county to be able to continue to maintain the level of service that we have been providing, a high level of service, that there would be a considerable cost involved, and that in fact, by moving to private providers who do this all the time, because that is their business, in fact, it would be a better way to maintain that high level of service than if the county tried to do it. In addition to continuing to monitor the county buildings, he also indicated that they would continue to monitor those elderly individuals who receive services through the County Office for the Aging, and for whom the County Office for the Aging helps to provide the equipment that they need to monitor those individuals, so that that other small group of people will continue to be monitored also.
I'm going to suggest that if anybody has other questions, they call Lee. This is the committee has talked about this on a number of occasions, and has they're the people who are, engaged and they have talked this over with the department head, and Joe has talked it over with Lee many times. That's been the direction from the committee. So if there's any additional questions, Carol?
Yeah, I'd like to know if the committee considered or got any input on the impact on our nonprofit organizations that need this service. As somebody who listens in sometimes on one end of middle of the night phone calls by one of our nonprofits, I know that
There must
perhaps,
be others.
Perhaps Lee, Joe, could you drop an email to Lee and check on that? And maybe you can find out what the average, you know, a sense of the cost to a building owner is for this contract. Do we need to keep going on this? There wasn't a resolution or anything?
No.
Lesson, your hand was up?
Yeah, Martha, it was a very simple thing. You just mentioned that a committee has talked on a number of occasions about this. Since I've been on the committee, this was the first time we were going to have a full-fledged discussion about it. It mentioned we were going to talk about it, but we didn't have that discussion. So just for the record.
Okay. Frank?
Yeah, no, I want to go back to something Pat mentioned. Pat, is it your understanding that the monitoring for the seniors is done through the person? Are those the PERS units?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The ones that we just approved the rollover money for?
Yeah, we're going to still do that.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the Public Safety Committee report. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie being Claire Born.
This might be a good time to get your coffee, leave the room, whatever. As chair of WDIC, I do feel a sense of obligation. It's unfortunate that the discussion earlier got cut off, but I do need to talk about this because there are people, I know I take the business of diversity and inclusion seriously, and I'm hoping that everybody around this table does as well. WDIC members did express concern. The resolution that we talked about earlier in terms of a hire, I do want to make sure that people understand that this is not the first time this issue is, I am raising this issue as chair of WDIC. I raised concerns and had a lovely conversation with a county administrator. It was brought to the committee that I could attend the budget committee when it was on the agenda for budget committee, and now it's on the legislature floor, and those concerns are also being raised. I want people to understand real clearly that this is not about who is in the position. This is about process. That's all. And it was advice from WDIC as process and what do we do from here on out. And it's all I am asking people to be mindful and hearing. It's not a knock on anyone. It's certainly not a knock on the county administrator who has made workforce diversity and inclusion a priority of his. But it is one of those things that sometimes in the heat of moments, we don't necessarily always think of best strategy or we're not going to that place. We all do it. And so it was just a reminder of what we should be considering to do for the future. I find it troubling that each time, and not just here, but everywhere, even on our committee, we start talking about things of diversity and inclusion that, you know, reactions are, you know, either things of discomfort, defensiveness, support, and any number of things that's there. So I am hoping that this county that made a commitment because of some of the things that we have been experiencing that led us to the point of creating the WDIC committee can hear when it is advice, because we are an advisory committee as we move forward. WDIC has been conducting a workplace climate survey, and we have gotten back quite a number of responses, close to 400 responses from our employees. They have been entered into the Survey Monkey, I think that's what it's called, and we hope to bring a report to the county administrator, to personnel, and to this body soon on sort of the synopsis of the results of that. It was very interesting from what I've been able to ascertain thus far. This was a confidential survey, so there were no names or departments attached to, you know, no identifying information, and people felt comfortable being very candid with their responses, and we really appreciated that. Fairly balanced as well in some of them, so we'll get that soon. We are continuing to work on our diversity plan for the county. Subcommittee has met. and hopefully we can have that soon. It's a lot of work. It is not something that you turn around real quickly. So I just want people to be patient and understand. And we also hope to bring to the legislature some point soon. I will talk to the chair and to the clerk of the legislature to be able to do a presentation on what we've been doing thus far, because it's a committee that probably goes under the radar, but there's a lot of work countywide that's being done, which we are involved in representing this county as an employer and as an entity that is taking diversity and inclusion very seriously. So we hope to share with you some of the good stuff that we have been doing on your behalf, and especially Sarah Reitzetter. I'm very thankful for the support for a project assistance, because I couldn't do all that footwork by myself, and I'm sure neither can committee members who are committed to so many other things. So I just wanted to share that information with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Any questions? Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The agenda came out on Friday. The meeting is tomorrow at 3:30. We'll be meeting at the new Health Department building up on Brown Road. You're all welcome. There'll be a tour at the end of the session. We do have to add, it's not on the formal agenda, we do have to add an executive session. There is a personnel item that Joe's asked that we deal with at that meeting. And looking forward to seeing you at 3:30 tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. And I would just say I was up at the Health Department building last week, and people just kept wanting to show me around, and staff were just ecstatic. I mean, really had just wonderful things to say, and many thanks to Arel Amaro for guiding that project through, and for all the staff who worked to make it a building that really fits their needs. Cal, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, I can't come tomorrow, but I'm still concerned about this question of the impact on our human service organizations and maybe housing organizations of the county getting out of the business of alarms.
Carol, that's been referred to the staff.
Well,
staff's going to follow.
I think that the reason that we have reports here is so that we can have reflection across committees.
But what's your question?
So I'm hoping that I do hope that it's something that the Human Services Committee, Health and Human Services Committee, might.
Are you talking about part of the budget presentation from earlier this evening?
Talking about the alarms.
No, I'm talking about the alarms. Whether there's a negative impact on already squeezed health and human services organizations, particularly those that come to us through the.
We appreciate the concern, and it's been referred to staff, who will make an appropriate report back to all of us. Jim?
I was dumping emails from February 2010, and I saw there was a meeting of the ribbon-cutting committee.
Huh.
And it's now September. And when I asked Brenda,
Crosby, and she said there are still a few things. Yeah. I mean, there were a number of things that weren't quite finished. And they want to finish those things before they have a party up there. So they will, I think it may be October, but hang in there. We'll have the party. So, all right. Any other questions for Frank?
Or Martha, for that matter, who's the chair of the Health Committee.
Sorry, Frank.
That's okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Frank. We do have a member filed resolution. Peter Stein, we have a revised resolution R.
Right. Well, it's a long resolution and the hour is late. But very quickly, let me say why it is that I file this resolution and what it pretends to do. The
I think Joe was the first one that pointed this out to us several months ago, that there was a substantial...
Peter, how about you put it on, get it on the floor. Let's get a second, and then...
Oh, okay. All right. So I'll put it on the floor. Oh, sorry.
So moved, yeah. Revised resolution R. Is there a second? Brian seconds. Okay, go ahead, Peter.
Okay, well, it was Joe, as I say, that first alerted me to the possibility that this tax cap was a real possibility, and I started to look into it and decided that it was not something that we ought to ignore. It is already been passed in New Jersey. New Jersey's a good blue state. Massachusetts, an even better blue state. Both of them have tax caps. And the tax caps, at least in Massachusetts, where I still have some connections with people that work in local government, that it's disastrous. And it's very difficult to work with and very difficult to work around. And it is clear to me that this thing may happen because it's firmly on the agenda of both Mr. Lazio and Mr. Cuomo, who have both said that they intend to introduce it. And it's already been passed by the Senate, and the current governor says he'll bring it back again to the Assembly. So I think it's a mistake to close our eyes to it. In the form that it has, I think it would be next to impossible for us to provide. I don't really see how we could possibly live with this. But on the other hand, crazier things have happened, and it seems to me that... that it is possible that it happens. So what I tried to do here was to write down what I think is a realistic... Well, okay, the easy thing to say is let's pass a resolution saying we're opposed to a tax cut. But I think that's obvious. I think everybody realizes that and that there's nothing particularly to be accomplished by that. But what I have tried to do is to write down what I consider the minimum requirements that will allow us to continue to operate responsibly if the legislature decides that they want to impose a tax cap. And there, as many people have pointed out, the major problem we have is mandates. I think it would be nice if we could tell the state to take back all the mandates, but if you look at the state budget, that's even more of a disaster than the county budget is, and to believe that they would all of a sudden assume all of these mandates is just wishing for the impossible. It's not going to happen. So realistically, what can we say? Well, we could say, look, we can live with the current level of mandates. It's not easy, but we can live with it. But if they keep going up, we can't live with it anymore. And so what I'm simply saying, or what I'm proposing, is that we say, if you want to put a reasonable cap on our tax levy, that's okay, if you in turn will put a cap on what you demand us to do. So it's as simple as that. It's a quid pro quo. The other thing is to put a cap at less than the cost of living, if it lasts for a long time, will squeeze the blood out of our whole operation, because every year we're going to have to cut and cut and cut and cut until we've cut our legs off. So basically that's what's in here. There are a lot of whereases that that Joe helped me write, and the numbers come from him. And then I propose this following trade. One is that the state cap all the mandates and the flow of funds back and forth between us and the state. And that in return for that, if they would adopt a what I think is a sensible cap, saying the CPI plus whatever growth there is. If you're going to have a long-term cap and a place is going to grow, it has to be able to expand the tax levy proportional to the growth. And then I have a last thing on there where I suggest that they maintain an override provision, which most of these tax caps have, except the usual override provision is that it requires 60%, and I say that if they're going to have an override provision, it ought to be by 50%, because we make policy decisions by 50%. So that's basically what's in it.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank, and then Mike, and then Nathan.
Peter, I think you've tackled something that is, as you said at the beginning, is on everybody's mind. The concern I have with this is that I don't think we should ask, we should present it as a quid pro quo. If they're going to have a property tax increase, just holding mandates steady ain't good enough. They need to reduce mandates. It isn't good enough for us to offer them that. We're asking for the world. Might as well go the whole nine yards and ask them for what would really be helpful to us, and that's reduce mandates. Just asking them to cap the mandates, I tend to disagree with your statement that we can live with the mandates that we already have. We can't live with the mandates that they've put on us already. It's killing us. And if we go back to the pension costs, that's an indirect mandate that we have to fund. I heard Joe say earlier that that could be 16% next year, 16.2 or 3 or whatever it is. I commend you for trying to put this together, but I think we're trying to cover too many bases with this. There's too many, if this happens and that happens, if the population goes up by county, we use a different rate. This may need a little more work in order to refine it, as far as I'm concerned. But I agree with your idea overall.
Mike.
I agree with what Frank just said at the end. I think it needs a little more work. I tend to like to see these kind of resolutions go through a committee. I want to commend Peter on this because I think it's both intriguing and innovative. And I'd like to hear it worked through, more questions answered on this. I don't think it's time specific in my view. I don't know about Peter's view, but I'd like to move to refer this to committee. I'm guessing probably budget would be the proper committee for it, and have it come back after a thorough discussion.
Thank you, Mike. Is that Pam seconding? Okay. Peter?
I have no objection to that. I think that's a good idea. This is mostly the work that I've done by myself, and I think it could certainly use the a wider discussion. My concern about the budget committee is that I would not like the referral to committee to be essentially tabling it, and the budget committee, with the work of the expanded budget committee, I wonder, Do you think that the budget committee could, in fact, look at this? Could it set up a subcommittee to look at it? And if not, then I think it should be referred someplace else.
I'll let Jimmy, do you want to answer that? You don't have to. Okay.
A subcommittee, but there's only 5 people on the committee, so that would be you and one other person.
Two other people.
I'm looking around the room at the budget committee, and it could probably happen. But I think you're absolutely right. It's not a really good time right now for this committee to be taking on a resolution like that to get anything that might make sense within the next month or so. There are some things in there, Peter, me personally, I don't agree with and I would not support. So we end up with a lot of discussion. But, I think it's a good idea to send it to the committee.
Okay, we've got Nathan, then Leslin, Carol. Okay, Nathan, Carol, Brian. Okay. Nathan?
I'll pass for now, but I probably will raise my hand again because I have a different point. I don't want to take away from this one.
Carol?
I came in here thinking that this was sort of too complicated to do in one shot and that we needed to look at something with simpler wording. But, Peter, with your changes, I actually like the changes that clarified some things for me, and you've been responsive to my concerns about it. I'm actually sitting here thinking about election season coming upon us, and this being such a
topic that people who are running for office ought to feel some pressure about. So actually thinking that if we send this to a committee and they take it up in the next month or two and then it comes back to us, it's going to be a while and we're not going to, we're going to sort of lose the election season. So maybe even if we're not ready tonight, maybe there's a way you could come back to us in 2 weeks with people's comments. Brian?
Yep. Yeah, you're right, Carol. There's pressure in the election season, but I think it's the reverse. It's pressure to glom on to something like this, you know, because this is easy. Right. Politically, it's very easy. Say, yeah, sure. But they don't take into consideration that we're basically middle management getting squeezed from both sides, and it's impossible. I mean, I'm glad that this issue is being brought up. And that's coming from a person that, you know, I don't generally even like to speak about things that we have no control over, because I don't think we do. But I'd really like, because at some point, I believe that some version of this is going to be reality. And, you know, part of me would almost like to see a budget of ours right today reflecting a 2% tax increase. What would that look like? You know, and that would certainly send a message to our constituents. You know, not the 5, but 2. And again next year, what's that look like? You know, government, if this goes through, government is going to look much different than it does now. It's got to.
Yes. If I can jump in here, perhaps with a solution, I would volunteer to be, maybe we could just establish a separate short-term ad hoc committee. I would volunteer to be on that with you, Peter. Are there any volunteers? Jim? Anybody else? Brian?
If we could attach it to an expanded budget meeting before or after, I would be interested. Yeah.
Okay. Let us work out. Okay. Yeah. Did I see Nathan and Brian, too? All right, we'll work on the details. So if that's an acceptable committee, then the we'll figure out what that looks like, and with the goal of getting it done quickly. So the resolution in front of us, the amendment in front of us, is whether to refer it to a committee. So I'm proposing this is a committee that might work. So if we can talk about referring to committee. Jim, and then Dooley.
Membership of the committee. I mean, I raised my hand, obviously, because of the budget committee, but if there are other people who are dying to do it, just jump right in.
All right, we don't have to establish. I think we got enough sense there's going to be a few people who will do it, so this could work. We don't have to decide exactly who tonight. Dooley?
I think it's a reasonable approach at this time of our budget year, but whoever is on the committee, whenever it meets, I hope that you will let everybody know ahead of time so that people who do have suggestions but can't attend another committee meeting can be part of that process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would, for starters, suggest that people send their suggestions based on this text to Peter. That could be the place to start with that. Leslie, put your hand up.
I do.
Okay.
I just want to understand what you just did, and it was to establish an ad hoc committee to deal specifically with this, or the subcommittee of budget. What just happened?
It's not a subcommittee of budget.
The question is to refer it to committee. Then before people decide whether to vote yes or no on that, is there a committee to refer it to? So I'm proposing that I could establish an ad hoc committee that takes from, you know, whoever the volunteers are, because it seems that, I mean, personally, I would agree that the expanded budget committee itself has a very full agenda for the next several months. So I would ask Jonathan, is that appropriate that I can establish an ad hoc committee for this?
Sure. I have a resolution. I'll refer it to an ad hoc committee to be established by the chair.
Yes, I would move that we authorize the chair to do that. We've already got a motion on the floor.
Then is that an amendment to the proposed amendment.
Well, I think it's a friendly amendment. It's a friendly the mover amendment. Just said a committee which he supposed would be budget, but he didn't specify.
Okay, that's friendly all around? Was that Mike and Pam seconded?
It was Mike and me.
So okay. you want to go to an ad hoc committee?
Yes.
Fine.
Okay. All right, that is the resolution. Does that answer your question, Leslie?
It answers my question.
And something else you want to say?
Yes, I have another question.
Go ahead.
And I'm supposing at some point we will know who is the chair of the ad hoc committee that we can refer questions, concerns, whatever it is to.
I would ask everybody to send me an email if you are interested in being on this committee. Among the volunteers, I will appoint a chair and the full committee.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. Are we clear? I'm ready to vote on this. To refer it to an ad hoc committee that I will appoint from a list of volunteers. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you, Peter, for bringing this to our attention and taking the steps on it. Then we have the minutes of the, where did I go? Minute of the August 19th meeting. So I get a motion on that. Frank moves. Is there a second? Will seconds that motion. Pam?
Yeah, I have one change on packet page 31. Under privilege of the floor, the first paragraph, it was not the 65th anniversary of women's suffrage. It was the 90th anniversary of women's suffrage. And the New York State Senate is currently at 16%, which is the last line of that paragraph.
So it just, read us what it should say.
You mean at the end of the sentence?
Yeah, if you would read that.
Okay, so the last line is Tompkins County is significantly higher than in the New York State Senate, which is currently 16%.
Which is currently 16%. Okay. Anything else?
I have one a correction that I'll give the staff. The date on that Blue Ribbon Committee in Seneca Falls, it actually was the previous Thursday. It wasn't the same day as the county legislative meeting.
Okay, you're on the same page down at the bottom?
Yes, I'm sorry. Packet page 31. It's the second paragraph from the bottom of the page. I'll go over it with staff. And
okay. Julie?
On packet page 38, last paragraph. Ms. Peter said she questioned the Taganic Creek watershed assessment. She referenced the Taganic Creek watershed assessment and asked if this is similar to the plan to be similar to the kind of assessment that Malone and McBroom did for Tompkins County on the East Shore. That's what I said. Malone and McBroom is correctly named later on, but it had nothing to do with Broome County. And on the top of page 39, I'm talking about the watershed, a road in the watershed. It's a road that I asked it's a road that had been traded from Tompkins County to the town of Ulysses. And he said it was not that road.
I can't hear you. What?
Was it the road that was traded by Tompkins County to the town of Ulysses? And it's not that road. That's just making it clearer what was said.
Okay. Do you have those? Anything else? Are those friendly to the mover and seconder? Frank, are those all friendly to you?
Yep.
All right. Ready to vote on the minutes as amended. Please raise your hand. If you're in favor of the minutes, too late. One, two, three. Any opposed? All right, that's unanimous. Thank you very much. Well, I think everybody's hand was up on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. for a motion to adjourn.
What about the executive session?
No, there's no executive. Brian moves. Jim seconds. All in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.